This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Joining us on his birthday weekend, Kanye executive Mark Poloncarz. Mark, welcome back to Hardline. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. And in a weird anecdote, you played The Politics of Dancing by Reflex. I actually saw them as they opened for The Police during the final tour in the 80s. And that was the only song anybody knew.
that's my theme song. And I did a whole show on One Hit Wonders, and it didn't come up. I was pretty upset with myself.
Yeah, that was as one-hit wonder as you get. And they literally played that song and everyone cheered, and they played everything else and nobody knew what it was.
It's like seeing Men Without Hats. They open and close with Safety Dance.
Makes sense. How you doing there?
Doing all right. Mark, you're having one heck of a week. Tuesday, you know, you were on the campaign trail. It was as if you were on the ballot. Big wins for Democrats. I want to say, before I ask for your general reaction, which one surprised you? Was there an election you were sweating out on Tuesday?
Well, in the Erie County ones, I wasn't totally surprised. The one that surprised me is Democrats won the legislature in Onondaga County, which is Syracuse, because the Republicans have held the legislature in Onondaga County for more than 4 decades. And they had a 12-5 majority. And the Democrats swept every race that was contested, and now the Democrats have a 10-7 majority. That's the one, when I saw that, I was like, holy mackerel. And the other one was the Erie County executive in Pennsylvania, Brent Davis, who I know I've worked with on a couple things, Republican, was overwhelmingly defeated by his Democrat opponent, Christine Vogel. I think it was like 65-34, something like that, with some small percentages included. So I felt pretty good about where we were in Erie County. We won the races I expected us to win, and we won them pretty handily. I know the Republicans put a lot of time and effort in Amherst and thought that they were going to win the supervisor's race and maybe one of the council races. They actually had their victory party in Amherst, which, of course, didn't turn out to a victory party because the Democrats swept Amherst with Sean Lavin as the supervisor, John Davis and Jack Kavanaugh on the council, and then Jeff Marion on the judgeship. Of course, we took back and swept every race in Cheektowaga. I expected us to do well in Cheektowaga. I mean, as county executive, I spent a lot of time across the county, and I talked to folks in Cheektowaga. They were not happy about how nothing was getting done under the GOP's leadership. They only did one road as a town. You know how people care about roads here. but they couldn't agree to do on anything, and they only ended up doing one road. So they gave the Democrats power back. Of course, a big victory by Kevin Hardwick for county comptroller, even though his opponent put a lot of time and effort. And then, of course, Sean Ryan's big victory in the city of Buffalo. It was a great Tuesday all around for Democrats, not just here in Erie County, but elsewhere. Even North Tonawanda, that was another one that surprised me. The Democrats have, I don't ever remember the Democrats controlling North Tonawanda and Niagara County, but the Democrats won every seat in North Tonawanda and control that now. So it was a great night for Democrats in Western New York and nationwide.
I want to talk about Austin Tylett and his strategy later on in the interview. You talk about Cheektowaga. I do have to put a promo. Brian Nowak, I asked him to join us this week. He couldn't. He will be on next week to talk about those victories in Cheektowaga. You know, looking through Erie County, however, turnout was disappointing. I mean, you talk about all the attention on Amherst, only 31,000. What do you think led to that? And do Democrats hold some blame for not running people in races like the sheriff's race?
Well, the sheriff's race was an issue where we couldn't find anybody to run. I know that the chairman talked to a couple people, but running countywide is a difficult issue. And at the early part of the year, Sheriff Garcia was pretty popular. No one would run, and he had the benefit of that. But we ran in races and in areas where we didn't necessarily think we were going to do well. I would say this. One of the things that we're seeing is Democratic turnout was pretty good. I think Republican turnout was poor. And a lot of people are depressed about what's happening in our country. They're not happy with the president. They're not happy with the shutdown. And I think a lot of Republicans tuned out saying, I'm not going to come and vote. And we saw Democratic turnout as being pretty good, not extreme, certainly not like a presidential year. But it actually turnout in many ways was even a little better than in my 2023 election, re-election, I should say. So I think the turnout wasn't an issue on the Democratic side. It was Republicans are just probably not, many of them are not enthused to go out and vote because they don't like what they're seeing. And Democrats, of course, were enthused to go out and vote after what they're seeing.
Unless you live in Clarence, right? I live in Clarence and there were no contested races. I mean, so that's going to cut into Republicans showing up, right?
It might, but it also, if you can't find a candidate to run in a race, that's part of it. I mean, people will often blame the party when they see someone's not running on the ballot. And I understand that. And what often happens is you try to get people to run for office and they just decide not to do it because it's a lot of effort. Running for office is difficult regardless of what position you're running for, from town council, a supervisor, a mayor, or county executive, or a statewide office. You basically put your life on hold, and a lot of people just don't want to do that. And so it's quite apparent that the one race where people are kind of surprised the Republicans ran was James Gardner in the city of Buffalo, because, of course, that increases the turnout in the city of Buffalo. And there were a lot of Republicans who thought he'd have a shot, and he lost by 50 points. So I don't think you can point to one thing in general other than Democrats were enthused to come out and vote as basically a response to what they're seeing on the national level and also supporting the local candidates. And what I've heard from a lot of Republicans and independents was I'm not feeling like this is I want to go out and vote. I'm just mad about what's happening. And no matter what, there was a very good turnout from Democrats, and it showed in winning in areas that we haven't won recently. And it's just not our area. You got to look at it nationwide. I mean, as I talked about the change in the county executive race in Erie County, PA, Luzerne County, which is a important county outside of Philadelphia, flipped Democratic. It hasn't done that in ages. So people were coming out. The two statewide victories in Georgia, that they haven't elected a Democrat, I think, statewide in a non-federal year in more than 40 years. So Democrats were enthused. Maybe the Republicans and independents weren't, but no matter what, I can tell you this, people in all parties are upset about what's happening in Washington and the shutdown. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. They're upset about it.
Looking in the city of Buffalo, Sean Ryan won. It was a big primary, right? The Democrats decided not to put their support in the primary behind the incumbent mayor, which I think had a lot of people questioning that decision. Why was Sean Ryan the better choice than Chris Scanlon? And how much did Jeremy Zellner wanting Sean Ryan's seat play into that?
Well, this had everything to do with the party supporting the candidate that they wanted to, including the officials in county government, but in city politics. You have to remember, the endorsements in counties and cities come not from the overall committee, but especially in the city of Buffalo, they come from the city committee. And Chris Scanlon is a good man, but he wasn't the elected mayor. And I think a lot of folks in city politics just wanted a change. And they looked at Sean Ryan and his leadership that he's shown first as an assembly member and then as a senator and thought, okay, maybe it's time for a change. So that was what exactly happened in the primary. And then in the general election, as I said, Sean looks like he almost won by almost 50 points. That's a pretty big victory, no matter what the margin is, whether it's 49.5 or 50. But I don't believe the Senate had any issue in it because I was talking to committee people. I was talking to zone chairs who have a huge influence in say, and they overwhelmingly wanted to support Sean Ryan earlier this year. I think a lot of people were shocked when Sean won the primary, but he did. Chris did the right thing. He understood he lost the primary. He stepped aside. I think he's got a bright future in the party, depending on what he wants to do. But Sean Ryan's our next mayor, and you're going to see some big changes in City Hall. I can guarantee that.
Nationally, we saw Virginia go blue. I don't think a big surprise there. New Jersey stay blue. Mamdani in New York City, again, after the primary, not a big surprise. I've got to say, the biggest surprise for me was Jay Jones being elected attorney general after those text messages were released where he had these fantasies about killing a Republican speaker and his children. I mean, do Democrats have to own that they put their support behind this guy?
Well, I mean, certainly no one should be doing that. I certainly have dealt with my share of real death threats, and it's not good. Well, I think what you have to remember in Virginia is there are tens of thousands of voters, not just Democrats or Republicans, but voters who were laid off from their government jobs as a result of the DOGE cuts earlier this year. And then there's tens of thousands of more who've lost their paychecks as a result of the government shutdown. I mean, Washington, D.C. is right on the border of Virginia and Maryland. And you just cross the border from the Lincoln Memorial into Fairfax County and Alexandria in those areas. That's all Virginia. And those are a lot of people who work for the federal government who are not getting paid. And so what you saw in Virginia was a repudiation of, I think, of what's happening in Washington, D.C. now, saying we're not going to elect a Republican. And it was across the board, including in the delegates, which is the equivalent of our assembly, where it was a razor thin majority and Democrats picked up a lot more seats. And now it's not a razor thin majority for Democrats. So I think you got to look at it is there's a lot of voters, people, regardless of their political party, who are upset about, number one, losing their job because of the DOGE cuts earlier this year. And number two, a lot of people who still have jobs but aren't getting paid because of the shutdown, which has gone over a month. I mean, that is an anger that it doesn't matter what the candidates are talking about or saying, that's going to permeate into people's votes. And that's what happened across the board in Virginia.
It just seems like two different standards, right? Republicans were caught with those disturbing text messages. And I mean, they were disavowed and they were removed. Jay Jones is the attorney general of Virginia. I mean, was winning more important than telling this guy he can't be on the ticket?
Well, I don't know the particular issues with the ballot rules in Virginia, so I can't necessarily talk about that. All I can talk about is I know talking to my friend, Chair Phyllis Randall from Loudoun County, that she said the Virginia voters were furious and nothing mattered more to them than the shutdown. Listen, I knew Melissa Hortman. I knew her personally. And seeing her assassination earlier this year was horrible. So, I will stand up to anyone who says something like that. But I think just the Virginia voters were angry because so many of them lost their jobs and others aren't getting paid.
You mentioned the Minnesota senator, obviously, Charlie Kirk. The rhetoric in this country, you've probably seen my social media. I have been very vocal about trying to turn down the temperature. A few weeks ago, County Executive, you said this on social media.
Just a quick observation. Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
If you were upset about Cracker Barrel changing its logo, but you're not upset about the demolition of the East Wing of the White House, you're in a cult. You need help. This is not right, and it's not what should happen in America.
Why would you say that?
Well, I truly believe if you were upset about the Cracker Barrel incident, which nobody was upset about the Cracker Barrel incident until President Trump brought it out. I've yet to meet anybody locally who said I really was upset about the Cracker Barrel incident, and you're not upset about the demolition of the East Wing of the White House, then you've got issues. You got to think and consider it. And it's not just about GOP. For a number of weeks now, you've been saying Mark Poloncarz said this about the Republicans. As you listen to what I said, I didn't say Republicans. I didn't say GOP. I know plenty of Republicans who are upset about the demolition of the East Wing of the White House. I knew a couple Democrats who were like, I don't know, but I read posts of them on social media who said, oh, I was upset about Cracker Barrel changing this logo. If you fall in this position where you're angry about one but not the other, I don't know how you basically say I care about our country if you're watching our White House be demolished. Look at the results of the election. If you follow my social media, Joe, and I know you do, you saw a lot of people saying there's a red wave coming, and guess what happened? It was a mighty blue wave that just snuffed out any flames of red wave that may have existed. We can disagree on issues. I think the big problem in our country today is too many people are relying on their own facts. As our former U.S. Senator Dana Patrick Moynihan so eloquently said, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. They're not entitled to their own facts. And the facts are the people of this country spoke mightily on Tuesday. And for those who are trying to ignore it and put their head in the sand, they need to take their head out of the sand and look at reality. Too many people in this country are ignoring it. And if they're in a cult, so be it. But they need to open their eyes, clear out their ears, and realize what's happening. Democrats are focused on kitchen table issues. We're more worried about ensuring that people have food for their dining room, and our president is more worried about building a golden ballroom. That's wrong. You need to open up your eyes and say what's happening in this country is wrong. We should be focused on kitchen table issues, not ensuring that we've got a golden ballroom for our president.
But that's not having, to be fair, that's not having a disagreement. You're saying people need help. I've been to the East Wing when I was in student government. Hosting people and having big tents set up instead of a ballroom. I mean, even the Washington Post, which I don't think is a fan of the president, said that the ballroom was eventually going to be necessary. Like, I think if you're overreacting to the White House, you might want to get your priorities straight.
Well, I disagree with you on that.
Well,
and I've been to the White House, and I've been into the East Wing. And what most people forget is there is the East Room in the White House, which is a ballroom, which has held every major leader and president for, I think, nearly two or more than, well, maybe not 200 years, because I don't know if the East Ballroom existed when it first opened under John Adams. But I think it's fair to say that we've always had it. Every president has used, I just got a yes from someone who knows the city of Buffalo historian, my fiance, that every president has used the ballroom in the White House. And this is the first president to say, we don't have a ballroom big enough. I need to build something, which is gigantic in size and is going to dwarf the White House itself. We all know what that's for. That's for people to come and pay homage and drop money into the accounts of whatever it is Donald Trump wants. I mean, Donald Trump's laughing to the bank. It's as simple as that. He came back and he's been making a ton of money from all kinds of people, all kinds of businesses, while the men and women of our country are watching inflation take more and more out of their paychecks. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, everyone was talking about inflation in the Republican Party. Nobody wants to talk about inflation anymore. Why? Well, because the president doesn't want to talk about inflation. He wants to talk about building a golden ballroom. Or the latest one, which he posted yesterday, is he's all in favor of approving 50-year mortgages, which is an absolute terrible idea. You're going to pay a ridiculous amount of interest. You won't even see the house. Most people will die before the mortgage is paid off. I mean, if that's what the president's thinking about is 50-year mortgages, bull. I mean, we're focused on addressing affordable housing in our community. That's what Democrats are focused on. But 50-year mortgages isn't it. All that's going to do is make banks and other people very wealthy.
Before I ask this question, I'm going to say that I think the president could be less divisive on social media. I've said, you know, AI videos of him dropping sewage on protesters, that's not productive. I find your social media at times to be very divisive. Do you think Republicans feel comfortable in Erie County?
Well, I believe Republicans feel comfortable in Erie County. I've never had anybody say I feel uncomfortable in this county. We have the lowest tax rate of any county in Western New York. We've lowered our tax rate substantially during my administration to the lowest in modern history. They like our parks. They like our libraries. Remember,
but they feel that they feel that leadership.
Erie County's population is growing. Now, I can't speak for the Republican Party officials who want to take back the county executive's office and are still shocked that I defeated Chris Collins in 2011. I think Republicans in general do. And I also know in 2023, we looked at the statistics afterwards, and based on the votes and where they came from in municipalities, we think I got at least 20% of Republican votes. I know that's going to be shocking to some people, but you don't win by almost 19 points and almost defeat my opponent in Clarence, your hometown, which was her hometown, unless you pick up Republican votes. I feel people feel really confident about what we've done. As you know, I'm not running again. I just announced this is it. This is my last term. However, if I did run again, I feel very confident that I'd win. But it's time for me to move on. And as I move on, I'm going to leave Erie County in tremendous shape.
You know, you talk about your comments on social media. I mean, do you think you welcome the negativity? I'm just asking, do you think you could turn it down just a little bit?
Well, I think that what bothers me is, just an example, on Facebook today I put up something because there's a lot of lies about what's happening with regards to SNAP and who are SNAP recipients. So I put the actual statistics on regarding the SNAP recipients, of which 58% of them are children or older adults over the age of 60, and 11% of them are under the age of 5. And that 59% of SNAP households include either a child, elderly individual, or a non-elderly individual with a disability. There's nothing that's inflammatory there. Go to the comments, and you'll basically look at the comments and say, oh, my God. And, Joe, I know you're a reasonable guy. We don't agree on all the politics, but you're a rational, reasonable guy. Even you have to agree that some of the comments on my site are just hideous.
I don't disagree. But when people feel like you said they were in a cult— You know, I mean, again, I'm not saying I think I wish we could have these conversations once a month, County Executive. I think it's great for everybody. But
we'll definitely discuss it again and we'll talk more in the future. I said I'd come back on and I did. Yep. And I will. I think it's important that we have a conversation. But I'm really concerned about some people in this country, including people I knew I grew up with, who are so Trump, 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 Trump. And then I talk to their family members and they're like, we've lost them. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore to those folks.
Well, that works both ways.
Provide the facts and hope that they eventually see the light.
That works both ways. There's a family friend of ours, has been friends with my family before I was even born. And because my family, this might shock you, Trump supporters, they don't talk to us anymore. You know, and it's not like politics ever came up in the conversations. I think that that works both ways. I have one more thing I wanted to get to. It's something I talked with Kevin Hardwick about. The NACO conferences. You go to D.C. a lot to the NACO conferences. The county pays for those trips. You then
not
take
all of them. No, actually, just the recent one in Washington for the Intergovernmental Disaster Task Force. NACO pays for it. If you are on the executive committee like I was, or the Intergovernmental Disaster Task Force, in which they ask you to be on, actually, they pay for it. So I think people, I know there's one person in particular who thinks that I'm spending all these county money, but on many of these, I'm not. And I think that's important for the public to understand.
But some of them you are, and others you take campaign money to bring your fiance. Are these vacations or are these county work?
I mean, my fiance pays for her flights and stuff like that. When we went to the convention is certainly is a political thing, and that is something that certainly I have the ability to pay for through my campaign accounts. I've never paid a campaign account stuff associated with governmental work, to my knowledge. It's either been paid for by NACO or by the county, and this is something everyone does. I mean, my friend P.J. Wendell down in Chautauqua County goes to NACO conferences. I assume he pays for it out of Chautauqua County. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But Steve Newhouse in Orange County, Republican. Ryan McMahon, Republican in Syracuse, in Onondaga County. He's the chair of the International Economic Development Task Force. And I'm certain that NACO pays for his dollars as well as he pays for it himself. It also benefits our communities because it helps us fight for dollars, and NACO fights for dollars for us. Just want to back up. The National Association of Counties is a nonpartisan. It's not Democratic. It's
right.
Not Republican. It's made up of all. And we're fighting to ensure that our federal dollars go where they should go, and we're not getting ravaged like counties often are with regards to mandates and things like that. I'm proud of the work I've done on the National Association of Counties, first on an opiate task force, which set the standard for how you respond to the opiate epidemic. And then working on other committees, including a committee with the International Economic Development Task Force, or the work that I did on the executive committee for them. I'm also a member of their finance committee. They asked me to be there because of my background as the comptroller of Erie County and what I've done for the county. NACO's a good organization that saved us a lot of money in the long run, and I'm proud to be a member of it, and I'm proud that they feel that I'm good enough that they actually ask me to be on these task forces and assist them.
So just so we can settle this, so the reports that flights were paid out of campaign funds, that's fake?
I don't know which ones they're talking about, so I can't say, but when it comes to the NACO conferences and things like that, that's always been paid for by either the county, I'm not denying the county's paid some of those, or NACO itself.
I'll ask you about the clerk in our next interview. What's next? You mentioned that you're not going to run for county executive again. So what's next? We've seen you in Claudia Tenney's district. You were in my hometown of Hornell, New York, with former Mayor Sean Hogan over the summer. What is Mark Poloncarz going to do after this?
Well, as most people, I don't think, know, but some do. I'm the first vice chair of the National Democratic County Officials. I was elected first vice chair by my colleagues this past year. I am in line to be chair. As a result of that, I am going around and supporting Democratic candidates in Erie County, Chautauqua County, Niagara County, you name it. You talked about Steuben County, Allegheny County. That's part of what my responsibility is for the National Democratic County Officials. And I'm proud to do that. And we've seen victories as a result of some of the assistance. We were able to keep the legislature in Cayuga County with Amy Sargent. Even in Steuben County, your home county, Joe, the Democrats won, I think, two seats on the legislature, which they had never won before. So I'm proud of doing that work, and I'm going to continue to do that work and continue to serve the people of Erie County as well for the next 2 years.
Bills, Dolphins, what's your prediction?
Oh, God, Bills.
All right. County Executive Mark Poloncarz, I hope to do this again, maybe without the 2 years in between next time.
Sure, Joe.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.